I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Huey Lewis and the News remain one of music's most enduring and popular bands over 30 years after the album Sports became one of rock's all-time top-selling albums. A 30th anniversary edition of Sports was recently released, including extra live material. The most recent Huey Lewis CD, Soulsville, interprets great soul music from the 60s. Huey Lewis and the News appear at the Cuthbert Amphitheater in Eugene with Leroy Bell and his Only Friends opening on August 16th. And Huey joins me by phone at KLCC. Thanks for taking the time, Huey.
You bet, Eric. Good to talk to you.
Well, Sports is still one of the best-selling rock albums of all time over 30 years after its release. That's kind of a staggering accomplishment. What kind of emotions come up for you when you think of that?
Well, it's nice to know that we will be able to pay the rent. It's just nice that it's endured. I mean, that's what you try to do. You know, you try to write songs that last longer than, you know, this week, and fortunately a few of them have.
I'm always curious when a hit record comes into being. The moment before it becomes a hit is the most interesting point of people's careers. I would imagine that you were a bit on edge in a career at that point. What was going on with the band before Sports became big?
Sports came out in 83. We recorded it in 82, and we produced it ourselves, something I'm very proud of because, you know, not a lot of new bands produce themselves in those days, and we wanted to make those commercial choices ourselves. And it was a radio world back then. You know, you think back to the 80s, even MTV had just started. Their playlist exactly mirrored radio and records' playlist. So radio was king, and there was only really one avenue to success, and that was with a hit record. Even FM radio, which started out as playing anything and everything, was already programmed, you know. So we produced that record, Sports, for radio, and we aimed lots of the tracks right at radio, and in retrospect, it was a record of its time, and it's a collection of singles, if you will, and that's what was going on.
Of the songs that have endured, I'm most curious about the reaction to what people brought you after I Want a New Drug became a hit. I imagine you had a lot of unusual offers at that point and people making suggestions and the like.
Yeah, no, the record label was worried about that one. They didn't want to make it a single. I think our first single was Heart and Soul, but it was getting a great reaction live, so they reluctantly decided to release the single, but they called it I Want a New Drug, parentheses, Called Love.
I want a new drug.
With I Want a New Drug on KLCC. Soul song roots are something that goes back a long ways in your world, and that's the root of Soulsville. What was the origin of your passion for all the Stax songs that you covered on Soulsville?
Well, you know, we grew up, my band and I, in Marin County, California, north of San Francisco, kind of a white suburb for the most part. But during the 60s, when the psychedelic thing, Summer Love and all that, we had to find music that wasn't psychedelic stuff. We gravitated towards soul music mainly because we had a station in Oakland called KDIA, which is the one and only sister station of WDIA in Memphis. I didn't know it at the time. I know it now. And in some cases, many of these Memphis records would really only get played on WDIA and KDIA. And in some cases, those are the only two stations that might play a certain record. We listened to that station religiously, and so we heard all that Stax stuff and really kind of grew up on that stuff.
I would imagine it was a bit daunting to take on Solomon Burke and Isaac Hayes and Booker T and the MGs. How did you avoid comparing yourself to those amazing voices while you were recording their songs?
Well, the idea was that it would be valuable in the song choice. In other words, we could either record the Chestnuts, that is, you know, Midnight Hour and Knock on Wood and Soul Man, and give them some sort of original interpretation. Or we could try to find songs that maybe people hadn't heard of before and give them a faithful interpretation. And that's what we elected to do. So we searched along and hard to find songs that were sort of obscure, but still good enough. And we did a batch at a time. We did sort of five songs at a time. And I was mindful the whole time that, you know, when you cover these things, it better sound good because, you know, you just don't want to do an Otis Redding tune unless you can. What was amazing about it is we have a little horn section we've been with for 20 years now, is when we worked these things up, how natural we sounded on them.
Huey Lewis and the News, sounding natural on Otis Redding's Just One More Day.
I've been missing you for so many days now. I keep wanting you love so many ways now. I can't get you off of my mind. But true love is so hard to find. I won't get another day. Ooh, I need another day. Darling, can I have another day? And I can be anything that you want me to be now.
I'm speaking with Huey Lewis on KLCC. Making those kind of records that look back at influences often seems to me something that people do fairly far in their career. Maybe it takes that long to be able to get good enough to feel like you can cover your influences or give the nod back in a way that really respects them. Does that have any resonance for you?
Yeah, I think that's true. It's also true, I mean, let's not be too easy on ourselves. You know, writing original stuff is not easy. And when you start, you know, everybody's got a few stories to tell. But when you've written 100 songs, now what are you going to say? You know what I mean? So it doesn't get any easier, the writing part. So the nice thing about covering something is you don't have to worry about the writing. And you can look at it and give it a new context, you know. And of course, you can, if you've got enough fans out there, they'll buy it.
Songwriting may not get easier over the years, and indeed it most likely doesn't for most people. But when the band has been together as long as you've been together with the News, other things must get easier. Arrangements, playing together. How has the band evolved over all that time from your perspective?
Well, another good question. And you're quite right. When we, you know, the hardest part about a band is the other 22 hours. It's not the 2 hours on stage. It's the travel and so on. And that has to be kind of a natural thing. You got to kind of fit together. And we do for some reason. But we also, I mean, you know, we work at our craft, and I think we might be better than we've ever been. We're sounding really good right now, and we make better choices, I think, you know, musical choices. We're freer up there, and we're still having a great time. We just play music the old-fashioned way we play it. So that it's different every night. It's kind of a Rubik's Cube. We try and get in the pocket every night. You know, some are better than others. It's sound-related for sure. But when you do get in the pocket and it's the song almost begins to play and sing itself, and it's the most exhilarating feeling in the world. And that's where we try to get to every day.
Huey Lewis and the News from 2012, live at the Trout Farm on KLCC. It's been 3 or 4 years since Soulsville came out. Now, are you ready to do any new recording soon?
Well, we do have a fabulous new song I'm very excited about that people will get to hear in Eugene. We've written a few things, actually, and I expect to have something new out next year. You know, the market is very confusing to me, and I don't think for a moment that we're going to have a hit record. I don't even know where the market is. But as a storyteller, you need a new story every once in a while.
We always used to say there are no experts in the music business, and that is more true now than ever, I think.
Yeah, Virgil. Well, what's interesting now is that in the old days, as I said, there was one avenue to success, which was you had to get signed by a major label, outcompete all the other bands on that label so you became their priority, and then hopefully have the goods so when they promoted you to radio, your song held up. But nowadays, shoot, I mean, with the internet and YouTube and the television and the advertising world coupled with the hit record stuff now, I mean, there's just a million ways to get there. So it's actually a very creative time.
It is. Sometimes the chaos is a really beautiful opportunity. It is an incredible time for music if people open their ears enough to discover what a remarkable time it is.
The sad part is that I mean, in the old top 40 days, you know, back in the early 80s, CHR, if you will, Contemporary Hit Radio, whatever they called it, it was kind of an editing process. So if you wanted to hear a Huey Lewis and News record, for example, you had to listen to a Commodore's record followed by a Garth Brooks record, you know, or something. And nowadays, and you mentioned Soulsville. Interestingly, you know, Booker T and the MGs are two black guys and two white guys who couldn't put their picture on a cover in 1964 in the South, in Memphis. And nowadays, society is much more integrated, needless to say. But music's segregated. You have rap over here and country here and AC and Americana and hard rock and so I think that's kind of a shame.
One of the things I love the most about what's going on in the music business these days is these completely uncategorizable records that appear that no one could have ever made back in the days where the major labels had the grip. Who would ever sign a band that mixes Balkan music with beatboxing, with Middle Eastern textures, with what have you, you know? And what a fertile time for creativity is, however difficult it is to make a living at it these days.
You know, that's very interesting, because it is very creative that way. Also, you have to kind of juxtapose that with the American popular song, which, since time began, has been a certain format. It's a haiku, if you will. It's in eights, and, you know, four to eight bar phrases. There's usually intro, verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, out. And it's really been that way since the beginning of time, till the 90s. And now, where there's these sort of pastiches, technology and machines have created this other kind of music collage, if you will. Whether these new things end up being standards is the question. You know, can you play them on a piano? And how do they become standards is really the only question. So it'll be interesting to see.
There's such fragmented listening as well as creativity. It's harder to create standards, I think, in a world where there are so many different media sources.
Right.
Music was such a more shared mainstream language in a certain sense in the time when you were coming to prominence than it is now. It's so much more fractured. It's harder to reach a mass audience.
That's very, very true. It's segregated or fractured or whatever. Yeah. You know, top 40 radio was invented with the advent of the push-button radio. The idea was that if somebody heard something they didn't like, they could now push a button and switch the station. So what the idea was, don't play anything that they don't like. Narrow your playlist and play the hits all the time, and they'll never hear anything they don't like, and they'll stay on your station. Hence top 40, which by 1982 was really top 23. You know, they were only playing 25 tunes, at least. So it's an editing process, but nonetheless, those songs end up being a common thread for everybody, you know, because they're big hits that way.
And they have so many memories attached to them now. It's remarkable. Music always makes us think of not only the song itself, but all the things that we were doing at that time.
Right, exactly, yeah.
What do you imagine when you think about that and you think about all the 10 million people that bought sports and how many memories in people's individual lives your songs must be associated with? That's an interesting thought.
It is interesting, and we hear about it all the time. You know, people get married to our songs, and it's always a fabulous thing. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. You know, writing a song is a creative thing. It's a, you know, the muse. It comes to you. You're a conduit, really. Yeah, you work at it, but you're a conduit. And you write these things because, I don't know, they just come to you. And some of them fly, and some of them die. And when one flies like that, it's just so, you know, makes you very, very proud.
Huey Lewis with Heart and Soul from Sports on KLCC. Did you know that sports was going to fly while you were making it? Did you have that sense that magic was happening?
We did not. As I said, we aimed every track at radio, and we didn't know what. One was kind of a pop song, one was kind of a rock song, one's kind of a ballad, but we didn't want to repeat ourselves, but we wanted to make sure that we had a hit single. And we knew we needed a hit single. We didn't know we were going to have six of them.
Well, locally, your biggest claim to fame is driving a Springfield Creamery truck.
I wrote Working for a Living while driving a Springfield Creamery truck. I had a partner called Gilbert Rosborn, and we started a business called Natural Foods Express in Marin County. And we sold Nancy's yogurt, and we used to kind of run up and get it from and the cottage cheese and the kefir and all that. And we'd pick it up from Nancy at night and drive all night long, get down there to San Francisco and distribute it. It was really fun. Good days and great yogurt.
Well, what lies ahead for you? What do you still want to accomplish after all this time when you look forward from here?
The challenges now are creative. You know, I mean, one thing I'm sort of proud of is after sports hit, I decided and we collectively decided that the challenges now should be creative and not commercial. And I'm proud to say, you know, since that time, we've made creative choices. And when we do that, it's always exhilarating and fun. So that's all. I don't know. I'm in show business, so I'll do pretty much anything for attention. But I now insist that it be creative.
Well, thank you for all the wonderful music and for taking some time today.
Great. Good talk to you, Eric. We can't wait to see you. We love the Eugene area, man. I love that area.
Huey Lewis, who will bring the news to the Cuthbert Amphitheater in Eugene on Saturday, August 16th, with Leroy Bell and His Only Friends opening. More information on the show at thecuthbert.com and more on Huey Lewis and the News at hueylewisandthenews.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.